I use the notion of triggers and effects to denote causes and results in describing kundalini arousals, triggers being the causes and effects being the results. In my 40 years of listening to kundalini awakening stories, I've heard so many trigger variations, it is nearly impossible to categorize them. Everything from meditation to drugs, physical exertion to sexual ecstasy, to Shaktipat, to minding one's own business. My trigger was meditation. You can read about my experience and about the method I practice in my books. Today, we begin with part one of Kundalini Triggers and Effects. Now, my activation trigger applies only to me and to those who have practiced the same golden flower meditation method I practice. Once you practice a given method and you get to a point where your metabolism starts distilling sexual energy into prana, it means the sublimation process is underway. There is no one-size-fits-all trigger for arousing kundalini, and no guarantee that a given trigger will actually work in a specific case. So if you're looking for one, you may not find it in books, conversations, or even retreats. It just may up and hit you when you least expect it. However, once your kundalini is triggered, accept it as the ultimate experiment in the laboratory of your own body. No matter the trigger, be it drugs, meditation, or even sexual rapture, every detonation causes a release of distilled sexual energy, a process called sexual sublimation that entails diverting a distilled form of sexual energy up the spine into the brain. It needs to be distilled so that, whether it's a man's seminal fluid or a woman's cervical or vaginal fluid, it can be conducted up the spinal column to the brain. In its native form, as semen, this would not be possible. The initiate may not feel sexual activity during the release because kundalini works at a deep neurological level. When it involves the chakras, wheels of energy along the spine, where matter and consciousness meet, the sensations, effects, symptoms the individual does feel when kundalini activates are related to the release and upward ascension of sexual energy to the brain. For example, although you may not feel any erotic undercurrents when kundalini is triggered, sexual energy in a distilled form is always released into your neural network. Besides the energy responsible for procreation, what other source in the human body would be capable of triggering such dramatic, visceral changes? There is no other source. Sexual energy is present in every case, whether you feel it or not. The reason you may not feel sexually aroused is because the energy kundalini releases into the brain initiates a rewiring of neural circuits, which once fired may cause behavioral irregularities up to and including bliss, psychosis, and depression. If you realize the experience you are undergoing is benign, any aberrant mental and psychic states can be stabilized by accepting kundalini instead of fighting it. So be patient. Let the rewiring and restorative work take its course. There's another element that must be accounted for, a deterministic element I call the field, which governs the collision of matter and consciousness and relates to your karmic destiny. It's why every person seeking to activate kundalini is not able to do so, and why every person in whom kundalini becomes active may not want it to happen. This is especially important at the present time when so many people are striving to activate Kundalini by so many different methods. Most have no idea of what awaits them if they succeed. And if and when they do succeed, they are often ill-prepared to deal with the aftermath. For the trigger mechanism to detonate successfully, the field must move the distilled energy of the sexual chakra, located above the pubic bone, into alignment with the third eye ajna chakra, located between the eyebrows, and ultimately the crown, sahasrara chakra, located at the crown of the head. This completes the karmic circuit that allows matter and consciousness to collide. What is karma? A kind of spiritual determinism. Think of this process in terms of sacred and profane, and how the profane, in this case, has an evolutionary effect on the sacred. The energy of the profane is the trigger that activates the sacred kundalini. Matter meets consciousness. The power of procreation is used to create a highly conscious and aware new being, and the field makes it possible. The field could be called the energy continuum, or consciousness, or even a quantum event. It's a collision in time and space, highly dependent on karmic forces. The trigger, the sexual energy of the second or pubic chakra, collides with the higher chakras, the third eye and crown chakras, in the field, a quantum event, thereby positioning the individual for an evolutionary leap. As far as I know, there are no statistics on the success rate for any given trigger. So although there's a lot of information out there, it has not yet been compiled in any meaningful way. How do you choose a method or a trigger? In my case, my method chose me. Someone gave me a copy of The Secret of the Golden Flower, and I practiced the method in the book. One factor that helped me succeed was sticking with a single method once it found me. Doers complete the journey. Dabblers tend to end up back where they started, in a kind of Groundhog Day recurring spiral of futility. Recognize the difference.